Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. Today we are going to give you a comprehensive preview of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Let's start with what many believe is the most heated, most anticipated series in the East. That is the Celtics and Knicks. Adam, let's start with some general thoughts you have on the series.
Obviously the Celtics are an overwhelming underdog. They are their biggest underdog since Kevin Garnett came to town. They are the lowest seed in almost a decade. And obviously we're both Boston Celtics fans talking right here, so we're looking at it a little bit more from the Celtics side, but I'm glad to hopefully we're giving you a Knicks side as well. But this Knicks team has looked fantastic, one of the best offensive teams in the league this season since Avery Bradley came back. The Celtics are one of the best defensive teams, especially against the three. And these two teams are going to face off. You know, of course, you have games 1 and 2 at Madison Square Garden, but this Celtics team will not be afraid when stepping onto the hardwood in New York. So I'm just trying to see what this is going to entail. It's going to be, I think, the Celtics' consistent defense against the Knicks' consistent three-point shooting. And I think whatever is more consistent might win out in this series.
That is exactly what the series comes down to. The Celtics have a defensive rating of 100.4, which is sixth in the NBA. And what this series boils down to is how hot are the Knicks going to be from the three-point line. If they're making their shots, there's not a lot that Boston can do about it. And the Knicks are going to win this series. Not probably, they are going to. But if Boston, who has athletic perimeter defenders such as Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, Avery Bradley, if they can protect the perimeter, I think there's a good chance that they take one of the first two in New York and then are able to maintain home court advantage and pull off the upset in six games.
And with and without Rondo, the Celtics have had tough times on offense. And I agree with you. Celtics in six, winning it out at home after taking one in New York. And the reason they'll be able to do it is because of their defense. But obviously, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett need to continue their strong offense, along with Jeff Green taking it to the hoop. The Knicks' interior defense is not very good. They give up the fifth best shooting percentage at the hoop this season. But the Celtics are looking at actually the fifth fewest attempts on offense at the hoop. They're going to have to continue. They're going to have to make more shots at the rim. They're going to have to take more shots at the rim because that's really the important thing for the Celtics team. Jeff Green has been doing it, but that's the important thing for the Celtics team. Of course, they're going to have some fast break options, but off of those three-pointers, the Celtics have been great defensively, the best in the NBA against the three-point shot. Under 33% opponents are shooting since Avery Bradley came back on January 2nd. That's really the big thing, being able to take those missed three-pointers, turning them into rebounds and fast break opportunities, because the Celtics have been playing at their fastest pace, in my opinion, since Kevin Garnett came to town, because they're actually trying to entail a different type of offense.
And of course, the Celtics, like many teams, are most lethal in transition. And if they're generating fast break opportunities, more importantly than even their ability to operate in their most effective style of offense, what it means is that New York is in fact missing shots and Boston's holding its own on the boards. The Celtics, because we all know that the playoffs are more of a half-court offense, that's how things tend to work, the key against New York's defenders who love to gamble, especially J.R. Smith, is, yes, you want to get to the basket. That means you're getting to the foul line more and just getting to the rim, higher percentage shot. But the key against these Knicks defenders who love to gamble is the mid-range, is simply getting a couple steps closer than the three-point line. And the Celtics happen to have the second highest percentage from mid-range, 24.6%. And I really think it's going to be a huge factor in this series, how well players like Courtney Lee and Avery Bradley are performing, and even Brandon Bass from mid-range.
And Brandon Bass has been fantastic. His longest double-digit scoring streak, once again, for the second straight year in a Celtics uniform, is at the end of the season. His April span of regular season games has been fantastic. He also has a great free throw percentage in the playoffs, so that's going to bode well if he's taking it to the hoop. And I like the mid-range. The Celtics are the best in the league, or one of the best in the league, at shooting the mid-range shot. I need them to move it to the hoop because that's big for them against a team that now has an hobbled Tyson Chandler, a hobbled Kenyon Martin, and it doesn't have many big men. Earl Barron might see minutes for this team. I know he's the bane of the Celtics' existence because he's able to throw up so many rebounds for this Knickerbockers team in the past against the Celtics. And I think what we're looking at here is a Celtics team that will also need to shoot well from the outside. Their three-point shooting is not that bad. They've been improving, especially some of the players like Jeff Green, obviously, who's been shooting fantastically in the second half. Jeff Green, Courtney Lee, a lot of the guys have improved on their three-point shooting since the All-Star break, and that's really going to help them out to bail them out. Just like, you know, Jordan Crawford can bail them out of a quarter, they're going to need to bail themselves out sometimes, and that three-point shooting will be important.
Another big factor is the Celtics' ability to match the Knicks' small ball lineups. They have the option of putting in bigger lineups because of the versatility of players such as Jeff Green. And, of course, they can stack the lineup with him and Pierce on the wings. And then you have Bass and Garnett. Plus, they have Terrence Williams, who's 6'6", and they play him at point guard. He's another big factor in this series because of that ability to bring some size to what is supposed to be a small ball lineup, bringing another guard who has that type of size and athleticism into the mix to defend. And if he's giving you a scoring contribution, he's someone who I like because of his ability to get into the lane. If he can do that and attack the basket and then use his size to hamper the Knicks guards and smaller players, that's a big coup for Boston. Although, to be honest, the player I see him guarding is Iman Shumpert, who, not to say he's a bad offensive player, but he's not quite the threat that J.R. Smith, Carmelo, and some of the other more premier Knicks weapons on offense are.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation with regard to Terrence Williams and the rest of the Celtics bench, because we really don't know what Doc Rivers' rotation is going to be, and he acknowledged that he is not sure how it's going to be. I remember Alvin Gentry a few years ago with Phoenix having to use his bench even in crunch time because he trusted really no one, or he could say he trusted everyone. We're not really sure whether he was trusting who or what player or whom. And this Doc Rivers team is the starters and then a whole mismatch on the bench. So it's a little bit of a different situation, but it's going to be a rotating bench. You have a 10-deep or even 12-deep team that has players who can all contribute pretty much. You have Shavik Randolph and Chris Wilcox as the backup big men, in addition to Jeff Green being able to play the four if he shifts over. So you have a lot of different options for the Celtics team. And Terrence Williams is definitely one of the most dynamic ones, just like Green is. You're going to have to see if Terrence can hit a few shots and can allow for a few monster dunks back at home, because he can definitely help that TD Garden crowd when he is able to cross somebody up or move on the fast break and really jam one home.
And a player that I also look out for the Celtics, and don't worry, Knicks fans, we will talk plenty about New York as well. Don't worry, this is not a one-sided talk show right here. Don't worry about that. A player that I look at, though, is Jordan Crawford, who has the ability, when the Celtics' offense gets stale, to really bail them out, to come in, provide energy. Of course, he is going to make some foolish but humorous mistakes and just have a questionable shot selection or a bad pass here and there. But he's someone who can score in bunches, who can score on his own with no help from anyone else. And so that's huge for Boston, whose offense we've seen frequently run dry.
Absolutely. And you have, on both sides, a few guys here that can really help. I have a guard in Pablo Prigioni for the Knicks, and then when you're talking about Crawford, Crawford makes this team so much better on the offensive end. Prigioni helps the Knicks on the defensive end, and we don't know about Prigioni's status. He now has rolled an ankle terribly, a sprained ankle now after Wednesday's game. I think he did in the first quarter, and we're not sure about his status. He's supposed to start for this team. He makes the team about 5 points better per 100 possessions overall, while Crawford helps the Celtics 4 points better per 100 possessions on the offensive end. So if Prigioni isn't there to help on the defensive end, I think this next team will suffer, while on the other end we have the Celtics with Crawford, and he makes this offense tick. When he's out there, he's done it against the Knicks earlier this season. It's a huge thing when he can take the team on his back for a few possessions, hit a few crazy shots. Even in the season finale, hit that crazy buzzer beater from half court. This guy has an amazing shot and can jack it up from pretty much anywhere. No conscience. And I think that's the reason why the Celtics wanted him, because he can be a huge asset at any time in the playoffs.
Now, when talking about players like him and Terrence Williams, who the Celtics have deployed primarily as a point guard despite not having any college experience and not having too much NBA experience at the position, of course, turnovers come to mind. And the Knicks are, let me do some quick math here, the Knicks rank 8th in the NBA in percentage of points off turnovers at 17.8%. So valuing protecting the basketball is going to be a huge factor for Boston, because if they don't, it's not just going to lead to the type of transition scoring that the Celtics are used to. It's going to lead to three-point opportunities. The Knicks are one of those teams who, because they love to take such a high volume of three-point attempts, will pull up from three on the fast break. And as statistics show, most of the time it goes in. Most of the time it is worth it for them to do that on the fast break. So turning over the ball, there's a good chance against the Knicks it leads to three.
Yeah, and that Knicks team, in addition, on the offensive end, is amazing at handling the ball. They've played a lot of three-guard sets this season, and most likely they'll continue the small lineup with the three-guard set. And I think what they're doing now is one of the best jobs at handling the ball this season. They had the lowest turnovers in the league per game, and I think when they're playing at such a slow pace, they're allowing themselves to handle the ball, not worry about things. It's not the D'Antoni offense out there. It's Mike Woodson allowing this team to check out all its options, along with having Raymond Felton controlling the basketball. He's been a huge help to this team. If anything, they're lucky that they have Raymond Felton in there this year, because he has been a mainstay. I know he went down with the injury mid-season. That really hurt them a little bit. Even when he came back, they needed to mesh a little bit better. But having him out there to patrol this type of amazing offense with all these shooters, along with Melo and Smith, who are great scorers, he's able to do that. And I think that's a big part of this Knicks success.
Absolutely. And we know that New York is going to rely heavily on Carmelo Anthony isolations. Can Boston effectively defend him for enough of a game and for majority of this series?
Well, I think they can. They've already done it this season. They've held Melo to 35% shooting this season, and that is his worst against any Eastern Conference opponent. And Jeff Green has the size and the body to do it. We've talked about in the past, a lot of people have talked about how he's able to take down these big small forwards and take them and make them tough, make it tough on them to score, like LeBron James. But now it's going to be used on Melo, and he's done that this season, and he'll continue to do that in 7 games, or however many games this series goes. We're both saying 6. But Jeff Green is going to be a huge part on the defensive end. You know, you really don't talk about it that often, but this guy can really help them out against Melo, and they'll be able to help as well. And I think Shavik Randolph being able to help on the rebounding end will prevent Melo from getting those big offensive rebounds against the Celtics as well.
I like to hear that, and definitely agree. A lot of good points made there. Now, another big factor is J.R. Smith getting the Celtics in foul trouble. We've seen on this latest New York hot streak him get to the foul line at a very high percentage. If he's getting these guys in trouble, particularly players from the first unit, that does not bode well for the Celtics at all.
And Avery Bradley's gotten into injury trouble like no other recently. It's pathetic how many fouls Avery has racked up, and as Celtics fans, it's infuriating to see him sit down. I remember there was a game where he was completely taken out of it because he only had to play 10 minutes because of all the foul trouble, and Doc said, you know what, you're just sitting because you can't help us out there. Jeff Green runs into foul trouble sometimes as well, and you know, you have to worry about that when you're looking at the Celtics team, you know, when they're defending a strong players that can take it to the hoop in JR and Melo, and that's really have to worry about, especially on in Madison Square Garden. Then the Celtics are not going to get the calls. They barely ever do anyway, let alone if they're on the road, at home. They don't get the calls that often, and that's going to hurt.
They're not a favorite NBA referee.
when you have Rondo who throws balls at refs, they're not going to forget that. You have Pierce who was thrown out when he was just barking at calls a few years ago in Miami Game 1. They're not on the sides of the refs. It's not going to help them. Doc has always been an interesting guy as far as the referees have gone. So this Celtics team is going to have to really worry about that. But they're deep enough to sometimes get those fouls and allow themselves to get those fouls. It's just going to be depending on who's going to get those fouls.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest issue, the who, because if it comes down to Jordan Crawford, Terrence Williams, Shavlik Randolph having to play heavy minutes due to foul trouble, that does not bode well for the Celtics, regardless of where the game is taking place. Adam, I want to ask you, who has the better chance of winning games on the road in this series?
The tough thing I would say is, looking at who can win on the road, you really have to say what team can kind of break out of their shell a little bit more, what team can kind of surprise a little bit more. And you know what? The Celtics have been able to steal games more often at home than they have on the road in the regular season. But when you look at the playoffs, the Celtics have been actually a better team in the playoffs than they have been in the regular season over the last few years. So I think they can steal them because of their presence, that what they've done over the last few years. They have the experience to do so. And I think that's really where it comes in, that experience. Although the Knicks can win so many games when they hit so many three-pointers, they've been able to do that. They're 37-8 this season when the Knicks make at least 11 three-pointers. So that's where they can steal a game. But I think the Celtics have a little bit better chance of a stealing game because they are not afraid. Pierce and Garnett really love to step up on the MSG floor. They have done it before.
I think it's the mental toughness the Celtics possess, the ability of them to be such a resilient team when they get to feeling like their backs are against the wall. This huge boulder just develops on their shoulders in this us-against-the-world mentality, and they take their game to, if not new levels, because we've seen players like Pierce and Garnett do this years back, and somehow they just regain that form in critical periods. It's certainly commendable and admirable that they're able to just get it up and have vintage performances when they take on that mentality. And very touchy subject here. I want to be very careful with my words, but given the recent tragedies in Boston, that certainly provides extra motivation for these athletes. And with the Celtics, who they've been in the waning stages of the Kevin Garnett era for at least 3 years now, with the clock ticking and all the motivation, plus the added motivation to want to perform for the city of Boston in light of these tragedies, there's certainly a lot of intangibles going for this team.
That's a very interesting point, because I'm not sure about how the marathon bombings would have an effect, because, you know, it's been really nice that New York has stood with Boston in that sense. I have no idea how it would affect the Celtics, because obviously most of those guys not really from Boston, but they have lived there. But that's just an interesting issue to think about. But when we look at the game itself, that's definitely something to think about. And with regard to the Celtics in this series, the Celtics have won a first-round series 5 straight years. They're looking for number 6 right here. The Knicks have not made it out of the first round in over a decade. It's been 2000 was the last time that they made it out of the first round. Of course, these are different teams. Every year, it seems like the Celtics always have so much overturn. Melo has made it out of the first round once in his career. I'm going with experience. That's why we had said 6. Just going to confirm it right now. Celtics in 6. They went on the home floor after taking 1 in New York. Bobby, what do you say here?
I will co-sign that. Celtics in 6, I believe that the saying goes, you live by the 3, you die by the 3. I think that's what happens to the Knicks despite an incredible run in the regular season.
The Celtics fans always remember the Antoine Walker era, but we are in a different era now for the Celtics. It's the Knicks now living by the 3 and dying by the 3. And with one last thing, we have Doc Rivers with 1 victory will tie Tommy Heinsohn for the 2nd most combined regular season and postseason wins in Celtics history. What an amazing feat for Doc when he gets that victory. Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We'll now be discussing the rest of the Eastern Conference matchups. And the first one I just want to get right out of the way, Miami and Milwaukee. Do you have anything to say about that?
LeBron James.
Yep, that's pretty much all you have to say about that series. So let's go to the more interesting ones. We have Indiana and Atlanta. That's not that interesting, but it's a little more interesting than the Milwaukee and Miami one. Bobby, what do you have to say about that series?
What I have to say about this is that the Pacers, after surprising a lot of people in last year's playoffs, where they even had an advantage against the Heat at one point, have matured. They've gelled more this season. The emergence of Paul George has been so fun to watch, averaging 17.4 points per game, earning a trip to his first All-Star game this season. Ultimately, though, it's the Pacers' defense, the team's calling card. That is why I expect them to stymie the Atlanta Hawks and win this series.
Yeah, you have to go with that, I guess, because this Hawks team just isn't that strong, especially without, you know, without Joe Johnson, without the scorers that you want, without the guys that can allow you to do something. You're put in a weirder position. So, you know, this Hawks team once again falls short. The Pacers have been struggling a little bit recently, but they're lucky that they got the Atlanta Hawks draw. They're happy. They're able to win. It's going to be a little bit of a competitive series. Unfortunately, it's the NBA TV series, but it's going to be more competitive than the Milwaukee and Miami series. But let's go to the premier one. In addition to the Knicks and Celtics, it is the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. You have stars on both ends. Unfortunately, the stars on the Bulls end are either hobbled or out, but the stars on the Brooklyn end, you have Deron Williams. You have Chris Humphries, who's a star in the world, but not a star in the NBA. You have Brook Lopez, who is one of the best PER players this season, arguably an MVP candidate for this season. Brook Lopez had a fantastic year. And then, of course, as the aforementioned Joe Johnson, a lot of stars for Brooklyn, no Rose on Chicago. What do you think about this series?
Well, don't discount Jared Wallace either, who's been a big factor in the Nets' resurgence over the second half of this season. Really, it all comes down to the play of a now healthy Deron Williams. You can see the impact that losing weight and getting those ankles in better condition has made for him and this entire Nets team. PJ Carlissimo, he is just such a good coach at developing guards and has really done a lot to turn Deron Williams' season around. That's where it starts and ends for Brooklyn. This is such a hard series to call between the emergence of the Nets and the defense of the Bulls and their grinded-out mentality. I'm torn on this one, but ultimately, I think the injuries for Chicago are just too much for even the defensive brilliance of Tom Thibodeau to overcome. I think Brooklyn, led by Deron Williams, advanced to the second round.
Very interesting. I wasn't sure what to say about this series either. You have Luol Deng, who's turning into a superstar, but is playing so many minutes that you don't even know if he's going to be able to stay healthy throughout this series. Joakim Noah, the same idea. Another all-star player that can do a lot of things, and he has also had the injury bug. Of course, Derrick Rose, not going to be playing most likely. We don't know about him anymore. We don't even know about him for next year. It's been so weird with him. So you have to worry about this Bulls team. I like, of course, Tom Thibodeau with his defense. This team is one of the best in the league in defense. It is. But they're not as good as the Pacers. They're not as good as the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't think they're as good when it comes to this type of situation. This Nets team is going to step up, and they're going to dominate the Bulls, and the Nets are going to win because of their firepower on offense. They have a lot of superstars. Deron Williams has played so well recently. They're taking this series and moving on to the next round to face the Miami Heat.
Yeah, that firepower has the Nets at 9th in the league in offensive rating with a 105. Certainly very impressive, and that's why we both are in agreement that they're probably going to advance past the Bulls. That about wraps up our show today. Hopefully we got you prepared and up to date for the first round of the NBA playoffs in the East. Should be exciting. Make sure to stay tuned as we will do our Western Conference first round preview very shortly. That will be posted as soon as possible. For Bobby Krivitsky, Adam Lowenstein, great show as always. Remember, if you want your questions answered on the show, be sure to tweet at us using the hashtag STWBA. You can find me at Bobby_K91. Adam?
You can find me at StatsAdam on Twitter. And it was a fantastic show, Bobby. Glad to do the Western Conference preview soon. And everybody have a nice day.